Good morning to you. T-minus 2 weeks till election eve. How about that? 2 weeks from tomorrow, we go to the polls to vote. But hopefully, you're going to vote before that, right? It's 2 weeks until election day, but you can start voting tomorrow without an excuse in most places in Missouri. What did we determine about Illinois?
I was looking at that, and it looks like they have early voting already available. I know you can register to vote day of the election in Illinois, whereas Missouri, that passed, what? A couple, wow. I think it was October 9th was the deadline.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I got a kick out of this because Friday night I went to the St. Louis Bourbon Festival, right? And I had to pick up my tickets at will call at the St. Louis Bourbon Festival. I mean, we're not talking about a high security event here. I said right on my little confirmation form, you must come with your state-issued driver's license in order to pick up your tickets. But the Democrats do not want you to have a state-issued form of identification to vote, which is the most sacred honor we get in the United States of America.
Which is insane that to go to a Kamala Harris rally, you have to show a photo ID. And she's the one who doesn't think it's appropriate to ask people that.
My wife went to some event that for her industry out in California a couple of years ago. Maybe it may have been around the 2020 election, but it was a couple of years ago. And one of her cohorts out there introduced her as being from a state where you actually have to show an ID to vote. And they were all, that's disgusting. They couldn't believe you would have to prove who you were to cast your vote.
That's
and
insane.
Again, in my opinion, the only reason you don't want that to happen is if you're trying to cheat.
Yep.
If not, show me that you're a citizen. Show me your ID. It's easy to get. It's for free. And then you can vote. Please do it. Whether you're listening to us on Rumble or YouTube or X or Facebook this morning, I got my voter guide here from St. Charles County over the weekend. There are 34 issues on this ballot, 43 on the one from St. Louis County. It's a long ballot. Know your issues. I did post just a few minutes ago. If you're following us on Facebook again, I did post the choices for judges in Missouri. It's a long list, right? What I got permission from the St. Louis County Family Association to post their list of the judges, Supreme Court judges and otherwise. It's up there for you if you want to take a look at it. I had not done that on my voter guide, but it's got the other issues and the amendments there as well on 971talk.com. But if you're specifically interested in the judges, I would encourage you to go look at this list. It'll give you a better idea of how to vote on renewing some of those judges around the state. All right, we got a lot coming up. We're going to get to the social media question and how it's influencing the 2024 election cycle. Who's paying most attention? Who's still using the mainstream media to get most of their news? We're going to get to Gary Frater coming up here at about 7:22. But first, I want to get to this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We found over 6,000, maybe 6,300, I believe, people who identified that they were not citizens, and yet they're on the voter rolls.
How does that happen? Somebody please explain to me how that happens. That was the lieutenant governor of Virginia there saying they found all these people, and then you got judges that want to keep them from removing the names.
So I have a surprise for you, which is that we're going to be awarding $1 million to randomly to people who have signed the petition every day from now until the election.
Wow, Elon Musk. Giving away $1 million to people we've now determined just in the swing states who will go and sign up for this platform. And then he's going to randomly pick one person a day and give them $1 million.
What we're seeing is a coalition of people More establishment Democrats and progressive Democrats and progressive independents, I'm the longest serving independent in American history, come together with the goal of defeating a very dangerous candidate, and that is Donald Trump.
Wow. Are you surprised that that guy, Bernie, is opposed to Donald Trump? And he wants Kamala Harris, and he said in that interview, of course she's lying. She hasn't changed her position at all on fracking or any of these issues.
For illegal dumping. And when President Trump stepped in and he imposed those tariffs on the Chinese, I firmly believe that he saved the steel industry, not only in our country, but the Mon Valley, where many of us have lived for close to 30 years.
Yeah, those were steel workers interviewed live on Fox and Friends in Pennsylvania, with the specific question being, who are you and why are you voting for Donald Trump?
Were they the same ones who were on the stage with him at his rally?
Yes.
Okay. And he was wearing the hard hat?
Yeah. And Fox invited him on to Fox and Friends. And they asked him, many of them said, we've always been Democrats.
Hmm.
Except we see the writing on the wall that the Democratic Party has turned on us. It's turned on its workers out of this ridiculous fear they foment over the unproven science of climate change and the man's impact on it. They would sacrifice your job and your job and your job if you're in the energy industry, the car industry, you name it, all for their ideology. Here it is.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I'm glad that he accepted it, the endorsement. And I just wanted the people to know, as a steel worker for Trump, I want people to know that all the steelworkers in the Mon Valley are for President Trump.
So, Glenn, I'm curious. Typically, union workers in your industry, we know them to endorse Democrats. Why Donald Trump this go around?
Well, historically, we've all been Democrats. A couple of us up here are third-generation steelworkers. And we had a trade case years ago that our ex-international president, Tom Conway, was fighting against the Chinese for illegal dumping. And when President Trump stepped in and he imposed those tariffs on the Chinese, I firmly believe that he saved the steel industry, not only in our country, but the Mon Valley, where many of us have lived for close to 30 years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think a lot of those union members are going to remember that between now and Election Day. And they're going to turn out because they know their jobs. How about the people that build transmissions in Detroit? You'd be a fool. You would be committing suicide, in effect, for your job if you voted for Kamala Harris. Because she's going to push EV use, and then guess what? They don't need you anymore. They're shipping your job and the money they would have given you to China. That's at the end of the day. That's what's going to happen. Whether you assemble the car or not, all the components are coming from China. China. I mispronounced that. Sorry.
I love China.
China. Hey, coming up, I asked him this question earlier. What do you think is the percentage of people who still get their information from TV news? I think the number will surprise you. We're going to talk to Gary Frater. He is an expert in that area. He's been studying this and in the social media platforms. We're going to get to him right after the break. Well, I have failed, Kim St. Ange. I just have to tell you that. I have been on this radio station for, 14 years now. and I've been preaching for all of that time that Facebook is not a news source. It's not a news source. It's not dependable information in many cases. You have to do your own research. But still, a recent poll has come out that shows a huge percentage of people still get a lot of their information that they base decisions on from social media. Wow. I mean, that's just, the numbers are pretty stunning. So among women consumers, 60% rely on Facebook, 60% say Snapchat, TikTok 62%,
oh gosh,
Nextdoor 64%, and men make up the greater shares on Reddit, Rumble, Truth Social, and YouTube.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that, it's pretty frightening that that many U.S. adults get their news that way. From YouTube and just places where you just can't guarantee that if the information is good, right? There, I had somebody on Facebook yesterday arguing to me, quoting a Wikipedia piece to try to argue facts with me on abortion. And I said to him, he's a former news anchor. I'm like, You've not really fallen so far that you're using Wikipedia as a news source when a 5-year-old could go on there and edit it.
That's true. I don't think, sadly, I don't know if people really even understand how that works.
No. All right. Looks like we've gotten our guest on the line here. Gary Frater is joining us right now. He is a social media guru. He's worked for a lot of really big name celebrities over the years doing this. And Gary, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we probably got about 4 or 5 minutes here, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on how social media and news platforms are playing a role in 2024. It looks to me like more and more Americans are depending on things like Facebook and Snapchat to get information.
Yeah, and it's very, especially younger people, they go over to TikTok. And I think that what's going on now is the algorithms are basically feeding us what it is that we want to see and really confirming our own biases to the point that we're in our own echo chambers, right? And I think that that's something that maybe our grandparents didn't have to deal with when they would open up the newspaper and read the paper for 20 minutes and then put it away. You know, now we have we're constantly bombarded with breaking news stories and a lot of outlets wanting to be first. And that doesn't always necessarily mean that they're right.
Yeah. Is there anything you can do? I mean, is there any way as an individual you can control those algorithms if you want to get different information in your feed?
Yes, absolutely. It's stop engaging with things that you don't want to see. I mean, these algorithms know us better than we know ourselves, right? And so they basically feed us things that they know that we're going to react to and comment under. And so if you don't want to see either certain outlets or whatever certain information, certain type of content, then you have it's in your control. You just have to be disciplined.
But the problem is a lot of it's being censored. I mean, that has even come out. The Biden administration was censoring the information that we were able to see, even if we wanted to see it.
I mean, that is a very good point. That is a whole different thing in itself. I mean, that's why you have platforms like Rumble, for example, that are dedicated to free speech. They're so dedicated to free speech that they were actually banned in multiple countries like France and Russia and all these other countries. But I mean, yes, I do think it's for whatever reason. I think I've seen a lot more conservative content now, and it seems to be better in the sense of censorship, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, you know, I did see a statistic on here that 33% of people say they still get their information from TV news, that number stayed fairly steady. So about a third of all people out there are still getting their information from television.
I would be interested to see how many of them have now also gotten it from social media. So I think before it was all TV, right?
Yeah. And
like you're saying. But now that number may have stayed the same, like they didn't stop watching TV, but now they just added on social media to it, you know, and so now it's kind of a combination. I mean, it has to be to a certain degree.
Very true. I tell you, Gary Frater, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wish I'd had a bit more time with him. We got to him a little late there. We were having trouble getting a hold of him. But that's Facebook is not a news source, ladies and gentlemen. Just let me tell you that. We're going to give you back in this moment. We're going to talk to AJ Rice. He's the president and CEO of Publius PR and the author of The White Privilege Album. Not The White Album, The White Privilege Album, bringing a racist harmony to very fine people on both sides. A little tongue-in-cheek there. We'll get to AJ when we get back here in just a minute.
Wait until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear a blast from the past there from Joe Biden back when he was running for office in 2020. Had to bring the racial issue in, right? You just like Barack Obama the other day, shaming black men if they weren't voting for Kamala Harris. This is the world we live in these days in politics. And there's a brand new book out called The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People on Both Sides. We've got A.J. Rice with us, president, CEO of Publius PR. And A.J., welcome back. How are you?
Brother Mark, great to be here. Big shout out to the very fine people in your audience. I know they're out there.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I know that you also wrote an Amazon bestseller, The Woking Dead. Tell us what prompted you to come out with this new book.
Well, before I get into that, I just got to say something. I didn't think Donald Trump could break the media any more than he's broken them.
Yeah.
But this morning, Mark, I got to tell you, Donald McDonald has broken the media by working in McDonald's over the weekend. They don't know what to do. It could be the Rubicon crossing silver bullet that finishes off the Kamala Waltz campaign. I mean, I have never seen a reaction like this in my life. And quite frankly, he's a man of the people. And some of what I write about when I'm taking on wokeness and taking on, you know, some of this garbage out there about white privilege and the patriarchy is pushing back on this sort of elitism that just can't stand the common man. They can't stand regular American history. They don't want to hear any more about Columbus or Washington or Lincoln. They want to replace it all with, you know, I guess the history of Michelle Obama, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, my job at Publius PR is to provide shows like this with great guests. And when I'm not doing that, you know, I do these books and the White Privilege album with an apology to the Beatles, not to Yoko, but to the Beatles, is look, it's a fun romp through sort of the 12 months of privilege, because chapter one is January, chapter 12 is December, and I go through an entire calendar year showcasing and poking fun at what some of the woke mob and the sort of cultural Marxists out there are trying to take from us or trying to ruin, quite frankly.
Well, you know, the truth about that is there's no bad PR, as you know, in the PR business. You're right. That picture of Donald Trump flipping the fryers out of the basket, the fries out of the basket at McDonald's, the media hates it because people can connect with it. There's no getting around that. They can question
That's
why
right.
he was there and the impact of it, but at the end of the day, it's gonna connect them to him, and there's no bad public relations about that.
And it exposes what, you know. Look, if you're a Democrat, you can lie about all kinds of things and just get away with it. But obviously, Trump, being, you know, Trollmaster Flash. Kamala said she worked at McDonald's. McDonald's said that they have no record of this. So he basically goes and works a couple hours at McDonald's, and now he's got more experience at McDonald's than she does. So I think the next thing he should do is go to Tiananmen Square, maybe, so that he has more experience at Tiananmen Square than Tim Walz.
I think Harris is trying to have her own little PR moment and epically failing by going to all these churches in these swing states. And then you have Obama out there talking specifically to the black men saying, you know, you need to be supporting Kamala Harris. She knows your struggle.
That's right. I mean, look, when he does that, you know, I mean, I remember, look, he's the first black president, right, guys? But I remember when the first black president was a white guy, a chubby white guy from Arkansas, right?
Yeah, Bill.
So he's standing there, the half white guy from Hawaii and Kansas, and he's talking to a bunch of Steelers fans about how if they don't support Kamala, who's from the neighborhood, I don't know what neighborhood she's from, the Canadian neighborhood, the Marin County neighborhood, I don't know. But if they don't, that they might be misogynist, they might be sexist, and that, you know, you have to vote your you know, your skin color, because she's from the neighborhood. I mean, what kind of sort of low, you know, the soft bigotry of low expectations is that, guys?
Well, you know, I've read through a bit of the book. I admit to having not read all of it, but the point here is it's not about racism and black people. It's about the fraud of white privilege and how this has been used by the left to batter
sure.
people emotionally
Absolutely.
Into feeling guilt.
That's right. And look, you go to the richest neighborhoods in America. The problem, like Northern Virginia, guys, like I'm right in the swamp, you know, I'm the subterranean homesick alien here beneath the, I'm actually in the sewers. It's cleaner down here than it is above ground there on K Street.
Probably fair.
Right? And look, these are the whitest neighborhoods in America, guys. And, you know, you go across Northern Virginia from Alexandria through Loudoun County, which I'm sure you guys have heard about. These are white liberals that virtue signal with all the flags and the signs, you know, love is love. We vaccine our, you know, our pets and ourselves 50 times, you know, I heart Hamas and the rest of it. But you talk to the working class, the Vietnamese, the Arab, you know, black car owners, the people that own restaurants, the Latin people that own landscaping companies, they're all Trumpsters. So with all this talk about white privilege, what they've actually done in reverse is make the Republican Party more multi-ethnic and more working class.
Wow. A.J. Rice is our guest. He's got a new book out called The White Privilege Album, bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. A.J., where do you see this thing going the last 2 weeks? I mean, it's only going to get nastier because, you know, I saw, you know, yesterday they're claiming, of course, that Trump is racist and he's, you know, for saying negative things about Kamala. This is just Trump. I don't know. I've watched him for 10 years now. I mean, it's just sure. The way he attacks his political opponents, whoever it is.
Yeah, and we're at a point now where, like, it's been almost a decade since the OG came down the golden escalator. So
yes.
We're all kind of, you know, even the people that don't like him are immune, right? And look, people are getting their information in a different way. And, you know, you might hate that, but sorry. I mean, you know, it's 2024, and you can't just sort of capture the minds the way you used to. And look, they're lashing out because they see the poll numbers. And she's underwater. How can you simultaneously be underwater with Muslim voters in Michigan and Jewish voters in Pennsylvania? But she is.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
now,
true.
Now she told Chris, she was at a rally and someone shouted out, "Jesus is Lord." And she said something like, "You're at the wrong rally. You must be, you know, trying to go to the smaller one down the street." So now, I mean, Christians were already, they should be backing Donald Trump. But now I really hope there's a shift toward him.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, that's no different than Hillary telling that coal miner in West Virginia to learn the code. Remember to learn the code?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess the question is, guys, speaking of Hillary, is Kamala more unlikable than Hillary? I never thought in a million years that we'd get to this. She's more unlikable than the most unlikable woman in 100 years. Congratulations.
It's unbelievable. A.J. Rice, good luck with the new book. We can find it on Amazon, I'm certain, and anywhere else they sell great books.
Well, I love you guys. You guys are patriots. Keep bringing the good content.
You bet. A.J. Rice, thank you for your time. Appreciate that. The White Privilege Album, bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. Looks like a great read. I've read a couple of the chapters to get ready for today's interview. And A.J. Rice there. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we whimming about this morning?
Somehow, I think some people, more people than we'd like to admit, are still in denial about how bad illegal immigration is. The rate of crimes they're committing. And I found this crazy story out of Indiana that I just have to share with you and the impact it's having on local students there and certainly could happen here in the St. Louis area.
All right. Back in just a minute.
Follow the show on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMarkCoxShow.
I don't understand how at this point there are some people still in denial of just how awful the illegal immigration system is, how awful it is at our southern border. People who think there's no issue, that everything has been just peachy under the Harris-Biden administration and want to vote for 4 more years of that, despite her saying she wants to turn the page. We've heard what's been going on, for example, in Springfield, Ohio. Whether you want to acknowledge that
the Haitians were eating the dogs
or the cats or the geese, whatever they were doing, whether or not you want to say that's true, you can acknowledge that they have been overtaken by people who have come to our country illegal. Now, Kamala Harris is going to say, well, no, they were granted. She basically, like, you know,
I had
gave him a pass to be in here. So that's why you're going to hear the, you know, Harris and Walsh try to correct people when they say they're illegal. But I found this small town, Logansport, Indiana, town of just 18,000 people. And supposedly there have been people coming over from Haiti and other countries that the county there has swelled by a 30% increase. So just the people coming over illegally, 30% increase in that small town. And there's residents who are furious saying that people don't feel safe anymore. I guess the schools have been just pouring in these students. There was a 16-year-old, Cheyenne, who's quoted in this article that I found, who was an honor student, and she ended up dropping out of her public high school and enrolling in an online class because she said that the teacher's attention became disproportionately focused on these newcomers, right? Because a lot of them don't speak English, so you're probably having to allocate more time. And she said it was just getting ridiculous. So the fact that this honor student had to drop out of her high school to feel like she was getting a quality education, what does that tell you?
It tells you our priorities are screwed up in this country is what it tells you. That non-citizens are getting priority over United States citizens on homelessness issues, right? On food issues, on income issues where they're getting prepaid Visa cards,
right?
On education issues,
yep,
where U.S. taxpayers pay the bills for those schools, but the teachers are so distracted by the portion of students that can't speak English that they can't teach the ones who can. What the hell?
I agree. You know, I highly recommend you listen to Charlie Kirk's podcast if you don't already, because if you want to educate yourself, aside from listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show,
Thank
he
you.
Does a really great job of, he is just a fact wizard. He has so much information somehow in his brain about all of this stuff. And he was debating one of the students, I believe it was Oregon State University, you know, because he goes around to the different colleges and welcomes any student or faculty member to debate him.
Yes.
And so someone was trying to talk about how this guy's like, more American citizens commit crimes than illegals. And Charlie's answer was so perfect. He's like, think about, for example, the homicide rate in Chicago. You know what percentage of those homicides are solved and end in an arrest in Chicago? Just guess.
35?
About 50%.
50?
It's just over 50% of the homicides are actually solved in Chicago. So if arrests aren't happening in many other cities, like Seattle with the number of rapes, St. Louis, thank you. How can you possibly know how many of these illegals are committing these crimes if they don't even end up in an arrest? We don't even know who they are because they're pouring across our border. We do know at least 13,000 of them who have come across the border since Biden's taken office have been convicted of a murder. Okay, that those are just the ones who've been convicted. You have thousands more who have been convicted of rape and all sorts of heinous
crimes.
When
you hear Trump say they're emptying out their prisons and sending them to America, 13,000 convicted murderers?
Mm-hmm. And he did some math. So the number of people who, because we don't really know how many people have come across the border illegally under Biden, but the estimate is around 10 million. OK, so if you just take the 13,000 convicted murderers who came across illegally and you factor that into the 10 million, that is almost double the national murder rate compared to American citizens. So anyone who wants to sit there and tell you these illegals aren't committing crimes like the American citizens are, da da da. When you take that perspective, that's just false.
Of the people that have been allowed in.
Right.
Not divided by 350 million people in the United States, but by the 10 million illegals they've allowed in. Of those 10 million, 13,500 of them were convicted murderers.
Yes. And I mean, think about that. That's an estimate. 10 million, there could be far more, and we just don't know
because
so many are coming across,
yes,
and our Border Patrol agents are completely overwhelmed, which is why they backed Donald Trump. So early, no excuse absentee voting starts tomorrow in Missouri. I want to just really hammer this home for anybody who's not worried about this and that this isn't being factored into their decision at the polls. Please think twice if you have a family or family member, friend. Tell them these statistics.
Yeah. Vote. Vote starting tomorrow in person in Missouri. You can already vote in Illinois. Get it done. We're going to be back in just a minute. Jesse Jane Duff after the top of the hour.